Heavenly Father, we thank you for this new day. We thank you, dear Lord, for the beautiful snow yesterday. Lord, we thank you for your Son who is the giver of all life, the Redeemer, Messiah, the Chosen One, the Gentle Healer. Lord, we thank you that we have this time to worship you, set aside together, corporately today. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for your Holy Gospel. Help us, dear Lord, to have the Holy Spirit of understanding and be with my words that they might be yours. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Well, this Sunday and next Sunday are the final two Sundays of the church year. And so, as you guys know, who have been exposed to the lectionary probably for a good portion of your church lives, towards the end of the church year is when we start to hear some of the gospel passages that are talking about the end times. And I was trying to think of a metaphor for the end times, and what I thought about was rubble. And, you know, what I mean by that is physically, like, just stones all kind of scattered about, or large stones or boulders kind of stubbled everywhere. And rubble could be a lot of things, but I kind of picture stones or rocks. And so that's the physical rubble, right? Like, what might happen in an earthquake? Buildings might fall and might have rubble from that. But there's also, in the end times, there's also spiritual rubble, right? And that is when we begin to be challenged in our faith or in our hope because of things like famine and persecution, wars, and illness. So physical rubble and spiritual rubble. You know, to the people of Ukraine, today's gospel passage is like music to their ears, because Christ is giving voice to exactly what they are dealing with and going through. You know, to the average American, this is deep. It's a passage is deeply unsettling, and so it really matters. You know, it's hard to see what you're not experiencing, right? What you're not going through, and so you get different reactions to that same passage. The disciples in our gospel today, in verse 5 of 21, they say, some of the disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and with gifts dedicated to God. Now, almost all the disciples, they're actually country boys. They're not from the city. Okay, and so when they go into Jerusalem and see the temple, again, it's not the first time they've seen it, because they're good Jews, right? They've been there. But still, they don't go to the city very much. And they don't get to see the temple all the time, right? They're from the country. And so when they see this, they're amazed by the beauty of it, of the large stones, right? Maybe some of the gold or the jewels that they might see as well. They're wide-eyed country boys, right, coming to the city. And that's what they notice first. That's verse 5. And you guys are probably, as good Hoosiers, you've seen the movie Hoosiers, and you know when Ollie makes the two free throws to win regional like this, remember? And after the game, they're interviewing Ollie, and they're like, so what, how, I mean, did you expect him? Oh, yeah, I expected to make that. And then coach says, really? And then he starts talking about, you know, the next week, which is the state finals. And the reporters ask him, how are you going to go up against South Bend and their big, you know, rebounders and their big athletes and so forth? And he says, well, before we even think about that, we got to think about the fact that we got to go to Indianapolis and play in this big arena, which, by the way, is Hinkle Fieldhouse, Butler. And so, of course, he takes them to Hinkle, right? And that's where he gets the tape measure out. And they measure the free throw line. It's 15 feet. They measure the height of the goal. It's 10 feet. And he says, those are the same measurements as you'll find back in our gym in Hickory. And so what he's trying to do is he's trying to take the wide-eyed country boys who are going to the city, right, for the first time, and help them to experience all, not get too captivated by all the bigness and the spectacle. That's what our disciples are dealing with today in the gospel as they come to the temple. Now, Jesus, as I said in my text to all you guys last night, he always sees things that we don't. He always directs our attention towards things that we miss, right? And so the disciples, they see all the great stones and the jewels and so forth. And he says, this is verse 6, so let's go on with that. After they see all those big stones, as for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down. And so Jesus has this way of cutting through, what most of us would focus on or the disciples would focus on and see instead what's important, or see things that maybe we couldn't see because they haven't happened yet. In the first four verses of chapter 21, right before today's gospel, is a parable of the woman, the widow, who's standing in line to give money to the treasury at the temple, right? And you got the guys who are really wealthy with the big bags, and they're giving those big bags, and everybody can see how big the bags are. And she's just got this little coin, which probably no one can see, in her hand. And so, the disciples probably focused on the big bags, right? Instead, Jesus saw the big faith of the woman who's in line. So Jesus sees things that we can't, that we miss, and he directs our attention towards what's important. If we skipped over chapter 2 of John, we get something else that's really important here. And that is, instead of the big stones of the temple, which he says, by the way, will be brought down, Jesus says this is what is more important. Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." They replied, "It has taken 46 years to build the temple, and you are going to raise it in 3 days?" But the temple he had spoken of was his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. So he's at the temple, right? The temple looks fine. It's beautiful. But Jesus says, tear this down in 3 days, it will be raised. And they think he's talking about the physical temple. He's actually talking about himself. And so what the scriptures of the end times do is they point us back to the big point, because there's no time for anything else. The end times, right? And the big point, of course, is Jesus Christ himself. That's why he talks about himself there in the Gospel of John. All that sparkles isn't going to last, but Jesus Christ will endure. And so we need to reorder our lives in order to reflect that truth. And that's kind of the big message of the end times. Time's running out. Make the changes you need to make. Focus on Jesus as Lord and Savior, as number one. There was a young female faculty member who joined the university. And in her department in the School of Religion was a well-established Bible scholar who was well-known. And she tried to strike up a friendship with him, to learn from him. to grow in her studies, you know, and as she became a scholar. And he rejected those overtures by her and said, look, I don't have time to show you the ropes. I don't have time to teach you. I'm doing, you know, great things in the field of scholarship, and that's what I'm focused on. And a couple years later, he had a stroke. And she went to visit him, which was gracious because of how he had treated her. And he laying there in the hospital bed with, you know, tubes up his nose and his mouth open and so forth, and couldn't really respond or speak or talk. And there next to him on the nightstand of the hospital bed was his books, the books he had written, the books that were great in the field of biblical scholarship. And it really drove the point home to her of what's really important and what really matters. You know, all those books that were stacked up there couldn't really do anything or help him in any way at that point. And yet here was this woman that, you know, he had wronged, that she came to visit. And that should have been, that relationship should have been more important than those stack of books. And so all the things sometimes that we think are most important in our lives that we spend so much time on that compel us and compel our, you know, our time and our energy, oftentimes in the rubble, when we lay in the hospital bed, whatever it might be, things look different. And we realize that maybe we should have spent that time differently. I'm reading a book right now with my seventh graders. It's called Touching the Spirit Bear. And in the book, the main character is a boy named Cole Matthews. He's a high school student. And Cole is very bitter and very mean. He comes from a very tough home life, and that's affected him. But he commits a violent crime against another student. And this isn't the first time things have happened in Cole's life. And so he goes before the judge, and to make a long story short, they turn him over to this group. It's called Circle Justice. And this group is a Native American. It's called Tlingit, is the tribe. And it's their way of handling problems. And it's different. They provide alternatives than just sticking somebody in a jail cell. And in this Circle Justice, they decide that Cole is going to go spend a year on this island alone, which is part of their tradition for punishment. But it's also not just punishment. It's a way to try to change the person for the better. And they'll bring, every 2 weeks, they'll bring supplies out to him. So he has food and he has that kind of thing. But he's out there alone. And one of the things that Cole realizes, well, first of all, once the men leave who have given him all the supplies and building this shelter, he burns it all to the ground. So immediately he has nothing. It's just him out there. And he's a really good swimmer, so he thinks he's going to swim to the next island and then to the next island and then eventually get on a boat and escape. And of course, the water's too cold and the tide's too strong. And what happens slowly over time on this island is that he realizes, and this is kind of the reason they sent him there, is that his way of dealing things, he always blames somebody else. And that's kind of how he lives his life, and it's always somebody else's fault. But here on the island, he can't do that because it's just him. And over time, that realization takes effect on him. And then he sees this spirit bear, which is a black bear that actually has white fur. And they're very rare. They're real. They're very rare. They live in Canada and other places and of North America. And he tries to kill the bear. He's mad at the bear because the bear doesn't seem to be afraid of him. That's something he always tries to look for, is for people to be afraid of him. Tries to kill the bear and it doesn't work. You know, he stabs him with a knife. The bear mauls him. And so he's laying here on this beach, completely mauled. Again, he hasn't had shelter. Mosquitoes are eating him alive, as they would in Alaska. By the way, he's in Alaska. Eventually, the ones who brought the food come back, and they find him. And of course, they take him back to the hospital. You know, he spends six months, I think, in the hospital, and then he goes back to the jail cell. Well, there was this one gift that these two men, these Tlingit elders, gave him when he came to the island that didn't get burned when he burned the shelter, and it's called an atoe. It's a blanket. And what it means is you give that, the atoe, to someone who's going through a hard time, and then when you've got out of that hard time, you pass that atoe on to someone else. So it's not a gift you keep, it's a gift you give. You keep for a while and give away. That still survived the burning. Anyways, when he goes to jail, he hangs that atoe over his bed. And he looks at it every day because it reminds him of the island. And because he wants to go back there so bad. And he wishes he had another chance and didn't blow it by doing such stupid things like burning the shelter and treating everyone so bad and trying to escape the island, etc., etc. And so, I think one thing that we can learn from Cole's experience that would help us approach this gospel today is that the fact that Cole wants to go back to the island, even though it was a place of such incredible pain for him. And by the way, I forgot to tell you, one thing that he saw in the eyes of the spirit bear when he had a second encounter with him after the mauling was peace and calm in the eyes of the bear. And that helped him begin to see life in a different way and to see the beauty of life for the first time. So perhaps that hanging of the atoe and wanting to go back to a place where there was pain can be a foot in the door to understanding why we need unsettling texts like today's gospel. In the rubble, where nothing sparkles, we can begin to see what's most important. Even if maybe we're not there right now, maybe we're not in rubble right now, maybe we're doing pretty well. But these gospels remind us that others aren't, and that someday we may not be either, and that someday at the end times, we all won't be doing so well as things are rubble around us. Begin to see what's most important. Be reminded of what's most important, Jesus Christ and his lordship in our lives. If you're ill now, if you are experiencing and struggling with financial ruin, if you are grieving over a lost loved one or someone who died in a war, as we remember Veterans Day from Friday, then this gospel speaks to you today. This passage, which seems so unsettling to us in most times, can be like honey to us when times are hard. You know, the physical temple of the Jews, which was so beautiful, would be destroyed about 40 years after this story happened. About 70 AD, the temple was destroyed and it would never be rebuilt. They tried to destroy the temple of Jesus' body upon the cross, but he was raised from the dead. Jesus endured. And so cling to him in the rubble. Cling to Jesus and nothing else. And then, as the gospel would tell us, get busy reordering our lives so that he can be first.